Good morning, good evening, or good night to whoever is listening to this podcast. I am very blessed to have one of my dear friends, Inez Bai, on the podcast today. She's my first guest. I'd really like... Yay! So Inez and I actually met on social media, which is, I was having a discussion with someone today about how a lot of our dating now is online and how that's just like the digital world that we're in, and you know, that space is really flourishing right now. And I was kind of a bit resistant to, you know, dating or meeting people online, because I just think there's a bit of a stigma around it. But then I reflect on all the friendships that I have in my life recently, and I was like, they're all from online. I have my beautiful friend, Inez.
Yes, hello. I slid into your DMs. That's how you make friends, party peeps.
I know, yes. Nowadays, in 2020.
Yeah, and then actually the story of how we met is so funny, because I slid into your DMs and we were kind of talking, and we, at the time, we were both powerlifting, so we had like similar interests and we had similar friendship circles, I suppose you could say. And one day I went down to Wollongong because I'd left my belt at the gym where I was in a powerlifting competition, and I was watching your Instagram stories and you were at the beach that I had gone to after picking up my belt, and I messaged you and I was like, is that you there? And you're like, yes, I'm here. And I just like ran across the beach and like never had met you before, but obviously we'd been speaking on social media for a hot minute by this point, and we just both happened to be at the beach at the right time, and we like essentially bumped into each other. It was so
literally
cool.
The universe pulled us together.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
soul sissies.
Oh, of course. I love that. I love when the universe is just in flow and you're in flow and it just happens for a reason. It's just like, yeah, it's perfect. And still friends to this day and will forever be friends, which is lovely. But I got Inez on here today because Inez is a health and mindset coach, and I look up to Inez in many ways. She's very inspiring in what she does, and she's got some beautiful clients that she works with, and she's got all these amazing innovative ideas, and she's helped me a lot with my own personal development. So I wanted to highlight to everyone listening, you know, what Inez does and how she can help you and how I can help you as well going through this period of time. And the date is, what's the 21st of April? So we've been maybe 3 weeks in quarantine or self-isolation, which I still refuse to say what self, I say self exploration, because isolation for me is quite triggering. So yeah, self-exploration, and yeah, we just wanted to have a chat to Inez, see how she's coping, and just allow the podcast to flourish and be present as it is.
I'm excited. That sounds amazing, and I'm so grateful for your friendship and your influence on my life, because it's even those little nuances where you're like, you know, I want to say self-exploration instead of self-isolation, and by you just bringing attention to that, it also makes me think about the language that I'm using around this whole situation, and whether I'm using language that is expansive and allows me to have like that more light attitude where I can actually see the lessons, I suppose, versus like maybe language that I've just cottoned onto because that's what media is using and that's what everyone's using, but it actually might be quite constricting. So it's such a simple change, but can be so effective in like helping you to open up your mind, which is obviously so important because that's where everything starts, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And thanks for the comments there. That's so lovely to hear. And I find whenever I hear the word self-exploration, like it makes me feel empowered and it makes me feel like driven and enthusiastic and excited. But as soon as I see isolation, it makes me feel small and it makes me feel really demotivated and stuck. And that's not what this period should be for anyone. I mean, it can be for a lot of people because this is new for many of us, but yeah, so do you just want to tell our beautiful listeners what you do, and yeah, we'll start from there.
Yes, all right, let's start. So I feel like I always kind of grapple with a title or what it is that I exactly do. So I guess I started as a PT back in 2013, working with all walks of life, mainly on their fitness coaching. And during this time, I had quite an interesting relationship with exercise, with my body and with food. And I thought it was just like a passion, right? I thought I was just really interested in fitness and exercising as much as I could. But then I began to get to this place of like real burnout and constantly feeling like anything that I did was never good enough. And it led me to kind of like I guess explore is the best word, or to kind of like question the actions that I was taking, because I was feeling so overwhelmed and constantly just not being able to like manage my emotions and just basically beating myself up for my physical body. And so it led me to a path of kind of looking inwards eventually, you know, through lots of trial and error. And I discovered the way that which I was dieting and exercising was actually quite, I guess, just not healthy. Like I was eating very disordered eating patterns, restricting a lot of foods, always looking outside of myself for validation. I didn't even really understand that I had an intuition, because I guess most of my life I've been brought up with this idea of, you know, doing the things that everyone else was doing, or always seeking validation from people outside of me and always having to justify myself. And that's been a big theme that has unraveled for me in 2020, which I'll speak about a little bit more later on. But yeah, basically feeling like I always needed to justify myself. And a lot of the ways that I protected myself was by counting calories all the time, or by exercising as much as I could, or by trying to be a certain size, because I thought those things would give me the validation. But when they didn't, and I had to kind of face my own demons, I suppose you could say, I went on this real big journey of discovering who I was at a more authentic level and letting go of a lot of my unhealthy eating habits and my unhealthy body image thoughts and patterns that I had. And then I actually just celebrated 2 years of transitioning into an online coaching business. Yay! So for about 6 years. Yay. Yeah. It feels amazing. It's been such a wild ride.
Yeah.
But for about 6 years I was working as an in-person trainer. And by the end of that, I was already kind of merging more into a holistic coaching approach. And now, yeah, I work with women all over the world, and I've worked with some men as well along the way, but mainly women, helping them to develop really healthy eating relationship with food, body image, and also mindset as well. I'm really big on developing a resilient mindset, a strong mindset. I'm not so big on being like positive all the time, because I think we're humans that exist in a spectrum of emotions. And yeah, I do that through a variety of like coaching programs, like one-on-one and in a group capacity. I do it through courses. And I guess that kind of sums it up. Like, we cover a lot in my coaching sessions, and yeah, I feel really happy and proud of what it's evolved to, from like a fitness-based business to more of a mindset coaching business now. And yeah, that's me, I guess.
Amazing. You're bloody amazing. I love you.
Oh, thank you.
But I always find this interesting, right? So when you go through your own up levels or soul upgrades, or when you're transitioning, what you're working on always transitions as well. So you were obviously very into fitness at the time, which you still exercise, but it's not like to the extreme as it was before. But now, because you're moving into that mindset sort of space, that is where your business is going. So it's always interesting to see when people change their businesses or their ideas or whatever they're working on will always change with them, because you can't be working on something that you're not passionate about. Well, for me anyway, and I'm sure you're probably very similar, but it's almost like being stuck in a role that you just don't really like, but you have the chance, mm-hmm. the opportunity to be able to change that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I find very often my life experiences are reflected within my business. And, you know, I don't think that everyone has to have like a business where it's like soul aligned. I think you can express mm-hmm. yourself in other ways, because I think sometimes that can feel really overwhelming hearing that on the other end of like, oh, well, my business isn't my like main passion. And it's like, that's totally fine as well. Mm-hmm. We're all on this earth to experience what we want to experience in all different capacities. But certainly, like, going through that whole experience of like being stuck in binge eating habits and not really feeling like I had any control over my relationship with food, was I kind of had to hit that rock bottom and be in so much suffering, essentially, to be like, I don't want to live like this anymore. And it took me through this huge journey of finding alternative methods to deal with my emotional eating, to find love for myself without feeling like I needed to use food as a way to control my life and my body. And after going through that experience, it's definitely something that I really make sure in any experience that I have, that I really allow myself the time to go through it and to find the lessons from it first, and then look at how I was able to go through it. Because it's one thing to go through an experience, and it's a whole other thing to actually be able to coach it and to relay it back and to explain it to people in a way that makes sense for them as well. So I'm like you, Monty, a very reflective, introspective person. I'm always thinking about how things went what I would do differently next time and what are the lessons that I can learn from it. And one of the biggest pieces of advice that I'm always offering my clients and anyone around me is, instead of thinking all the time of like, well, why did this happen to me? Or why am I like this? Or why didn't it work out differently? All of those why questions really keep us stuck in ruminating in the past, right? And that's not going to be helpful, because as we all very well know, we cannot change the past. And so instead, it's asking ourselves questions of like, well, how would I like to approach this next time? Or what can I learn from this scenario? So those hows and those whats are going to be a lot more helpful in helping us to actually progress, aka move forwards.
Yeah, exactly. And there's one quote that always, always sticks with me, and it's Gary Vee's quote, and it's, you're not stuck, you're just inexperienced. So yeah, never like all, like a lot of us can get stuck in that mindset of the past, but it's just, we might not be exposed to the right tools yet or the right information to be able to grow. And things that we can do is just jump in or step out of our comfort zone to be able to really try and just get over that past experience. But there's always that transition period of, I find it can be quite fearful, and any change is quite fearful because we don't really know at first how to adapt to it. But the human body is just amazing at being able to adapt. And as you said before, you didn't really know what an intuition was. So I feel the more in line we are with our intuition, it can really help us to be able to grow and change by just trusting that. But in our day and age, like there's like we go against our intuition so much, and we always have these gut feelings that we think, no, like I'll just do this instead, and then we're always like, shit, I should have just done that anyway. Like why are we denying our intuition? It's like so much stronger than our mind.
Absolutely. Like I can think of so many scenarios of exactly what you just said, where I had a thought to do something. For example, like, oh, I really want to, I can't even think now. Like, if, for example, when I was doing my uni degree, I really wanted to, oh, actually, no, we'll rewind even further than that. When I finished uni, I really wanted to become a personal trainer. But I remember looking up the courses and it was like, I don't know, $2,000 at the time, which I didn't have because I was just finishing HSC. And I never even admit that it was something that I wanted to follow, because it was something that really excited me. And I was worried that if someone said no to me, it would like cut me down, right? I was scared of rejection. So instead, I kind of asked my parents, I think I should do. And mum was like, just go to uni. And so I went to uni and just did some random degree that literally meant nothing to me. And just kind of picked it because that's what my parents told me to do, and because that's what was very expected of me, especially in the school and in the area that I grew up, was just like, go to uni, get a job, you know, move out, get a dog, whatever. So I did a year of uni, and, you know, I don't regret it because I still learned a lot of life experiences. And I also had an amazing time just going to uni and living the student life and meeting people and, you know, experiencing that. Also meeting people outside of my area. I lived very much in an insular kind of community, I would say, and going to uni exposed me to different walks of life. But then a year down the track, I tried to start my second year of uni and I was just like repelled by it. Like I just could not force myself to do it. So I deferred, finally did my PT certificates, and I asked to borrow the money and started working as a PT. And, you know, from then on, I kind of set things up. Or the support to follow my intuition, because my family, the way that I grew up, is very like sciencey and logical, and you've got to prove everything to make sense before you're allowed to do it. And so a lot of my life has been letting the idea that I need to always prove myself, and to just know that if something excites me, I'm allowed to follow that, and I don't have to know how everything's going to work out before I start something.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. And that's it. Like at first we're just told to like, we need to be doing X, Y, Z, but we really need to like come back to our heart space and come back to our intuition and really understand what is it that we actually want. And in saying that though, what was the trigger point or the tool that you used to be able to really understand how to follow your intuition?
Yes. Okay. So interesting. There's so many directions that we can go with this, because I've literally done so much research and studying and mentoring around this, because I was just like so disconnected from my intuition. Like even if we look at it from an eating standpoint, I think this will be like a really relatable point for a lot of people. As I grew up, I didn't really think about what I was eating. I just ate until I was full. If I felt like having something, I would, you know, go and eat it. And I would just not think about it twice. If I didn't want to finish it, I would just throw it out or I'd give it away. And I never thought about my body either until I was about like 15, 16. And I gained a little bit of weight because I went on exchange, and then I came home and all of a sudden I had this incessant need to get answers from everywhere outside of me. And I think the thing that really led me down a bit of a spiral was that I didn't ever ask anyone around me, or I didn't really admit that I was struggling with what to eat. Instead, I just went online and I absorbed everything that I could about dieting, losing weight. I would Google things like how to get rid of lower belly fat. That's one. And I would just like follow it without really having
diet.
Yeah. Without any sort of context, without having the tools also to like check in with my body and ask my body, does this feel good? And because I went through so long doing this in private, I got really good at developing a very strong facade, in the sense that like externally I was quite high functioning. You know, no one would know that I was having these like crippling anxiety, or that I was binge eating all night and feeling really sick and just constantly worried about food, because I got very good at having this like mask where I was just like, I'm sweet, I'm strong, I'm independent, I just do whatever I want to do. But then come nighttime, or come me being at home, I couldn't be at home alone. I'd be too anxious. I couldn't ever be left with my thoughts. So I would just be busy all the time, and people would be like, how do you cope with that? And I'd just be like, well, what's the alternative? Like, I literally felt like if I wasn't busy all the time, I would just crumble, or I would just eat heaps of food and I would just gain heaps of weight. And that all stemmed from me not trusting myself and constantly seeking for validation and answers outside of myself. And so I guess the way that I got back to that was by getting support from someone that showed me like a different way, and that someone kind of like took, because I'd been doing this for so long, I was so confused as to like, what's my intuition and what is actually right and what is wrong. And I was just constantly chopping and changing all the time, and very much had that like like shiny object syndrome, where you're like, oh, I'll try this diet, and oh, I'll try this food, and oh, this person says this thing, and then you're so inconsistent and you've not listened to your intuition or your heart or your body for so long that it just becomes so confusing. So in that sense, you need someone to give you the structure of like, just follow this, don't question it, I'll be here if you need support, but you don't like, just this is all you need to do, and place your trust in someone externally from you that you trust as well, to be like, here is, and then they kind of like hold the space for you whilst you start to understand your body and start to build up that trust again. But at a more like tangible level, I guess listening to your intuition is listening to your body, and your body whispers to you in like feelings and nudges, and you notice it in like your stomach, like whether things are expansive or light. And even the process of me trying to explain what your intuition is trying to like put it into some form of logic, if that makes sense. So versus like your head is speaking to you in thoughts and sentences, and you know, that's how your head is speaking to you. So it's finding, we want a balance of both, but in our society, and it's getting better now, it's always logically rationalizing everything, but then we get so up in our head that we get stuck, just like you said. So at that point, it's like giving yourself the permission to get into your body and to remind yourself of the feelings that your body has as well.
Yeah, no, like, thank you so much for being so open as well with your journey, because I know that a lot of people will benefit from this, because I think, like, especially now having, you know, a lot of people crave structure, and having that kind of structure taken away can leave people feeling like a little bit unsettled as well, which makes people make potentially wrong decisions. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there, but the only thing that I find is certain is, and I know we've had conversations about this before, is like change, but following your intuition is so, I feel, is so important right now. And I know like what you just said, everything's quite logic based. And when I have a feeling, and someone like would try and, you know, say, well, you have a feeling, like, how can you prove that, you know, what you're feeling like exists? It's like, well, I'm just going with my intuition and it feels wrong. And really, it's really hard to try and like understand as well, and to kind of convey what your intuition is saying, because for a lot of people who don't follow their intuition won't understand, like they need answers. But when you're feeling and you know it, it's like, yeah, it's really empowering to be able to like feel into your space. And I know you've helped me as well before, and I've expressed this to you about my body and how it wasn't feeling right when I was powerlifting. And obviously when you compete in any sport, you're going against your like natural capabilities as like a human body, because we need to be able to move and be free. But when you compete, you're at a high level, so you're actually going against what your body wants and needs. Like, yeah, mentally it's great, you can push yourself, like you'll get discipline and you build resilience and etc. But when you do anything in that sort of capacity, you're actually kind of denying your intuition, you're denying your body, and you're continuing to push through. But in the process of doing that, you're actually de-aligning your life with a lot of other things that are going on. And I find it very interesting as well with this process. There's a lot of deaths and rebirths of certain things that I've experienced myself personally, but I've seen in a lot of other people as well. And as long as we're continuing to tap into what we want and what feels good, or what doesn't feel good as well, and being curious about that space, I think we can really use this space to create and align ourselves with the individual that we want to be on a soul level, but what we're here for as well.
Yeah, totally. I think it takes a very, like, we've both been through the experience of powerlifting, and it was incredibly therapeutic for me to go from a sport that was so, like, I used to just go to the gym to burn calories and to look a certain way. And powerlifting for me really exposed me. And especially at the time that I started, it wasn't really like a normal thing for girls to be lifting heavy. Like, I was there at the gym that I first worked at, there was 20 trainers and only 3 girls, right? So it was just not a normal thing for girls to be in any sort of position of authority in fitness. So when I started, unless, you know, of course the bikini competitions were like raving. So when I started powerlifting, it was incredibly therapeutic. But what I find happens all the time is that we get really attached to the idea of being a powerlifter, and like that becomes your identity. And for me, what happened was a big death, like you said, when I wanted to give up powerlifting because my body was just like breaking down. It didn't feel good when I was going, nothing, like no amount of physio or stretching or warming up made my body feel like expansive anymore from doing powerlifting. And the reason why I found it was so hard to stop that was because I wrapped myself up in the identity of powerlifting, you know, like training for strength and training to be a competitor. And also with powerlifting, it was really therapeutic for me to be like seen and to like own the platform and to just be like the center of attention. Like that's something I still don't feel 100% comfortable with, obviously a lot more now than ever before, but it was also really helpful for me to have that experience. But it was kind of like detaching those experiences from being a powerlifter and allowing myself to be my own person and not thinking, oh, well, if I don't powerlift, then those experiences become futile, or they become obsolete. Like, no, they don't. Like, you're still allowed to have those experiences, and you're still allowed to kind of like carry the lessons on with you, but you can also allow yourself to have a new identity. Because I think people really cling on to certain sports or certain job roles or certain roles just generally in society because it gives them a sense of security and a box to put themselves into. But when you're doing that, it's coming from a place of anxiety, of kind of like, well, if I don't have this box to fit myself into, I don't belong anywhere, so I couldn't possibly give it up. And that's really like quite a scarcity fear-based mindset, isn't it? Because on the flip side, if we flip that, it's like, oh, there's so much for me to explore, and there's so many experiences for me to have, and like there's so many identities that I'm allowed to have as well, and I get to choose that. So it is really interesting.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone about this the other day actually, and about how I'm like personally transitioning to a vegan diet, but I'm not going to classify myself as a vegan because I know that every now and then I will have chicken or I will have meat, you know, if I go to my grandparents' house or there's something there. Like, I'm not just going to deny that completely. And I was just saying how labels themselves can really, like you said, can box people, but that you can also, once you label yourself for something, like say for example, your doctor labels you as having anxiety, you tend to adopt the anxiety symptoms so much more than the label does it. And he was kind of explaining to me about how he doesn't like being labeled as anything, and he is quite a free spirit and really likes to be open to everything, because for him it's like, well, what's the point of living if you're not experiencing anything? So he just likes to change support, likes to do this, likes to do that. And I just found that so empowering that he just doesn't like to identify with anything. And yeah, it's just the whole notion of labels. Like, it can be great. And it's like, obviously business-wise, it can be good to be able to be like a certain consultant or whatever you want to be. But in your personal life though, once we label ourselves, yes, we'll put ourselves in a box, but then how far can you go in the box until you have to actually get outside the box?
Yeah, exactly. And you either like stay in that thing, which, you know, I also think does have some like admirable qualities of really being able 100%. To commit to like one thing for a long time, but also like it's letting go of the dogma around labels, right? Like, oh, I'm a vegan, so that means I have to eat vegan all the time. Yeah, it's yeah. like, oh, just like if yes, you're vegan, but you accidentally eat some mayonnaise one time, or like, you know, you're going to your grandparents' house that don't like understand it fully, like what do you like, you know, it's okay. It's like, let go of the labels and don't think that you need to define yourself. Like, you came to this earth as you are, and because you are here, you don't have to. And like, this comes back to that whole desire to like justify everything. It's like, if something feels good, go for it, and let go of that dogma around it. And if anyone is judging you of something that you're doing that maybe is out of character for you or outside of their understanding, just reminding yourself that they're kind of on a high horse to protect themselves from questioning their own sense of identity. Because what we know about like identity as well is that our bodies really do cling on to the things that we identify ourselves as, and we'll kind of do anything in order to keep ourselves within that identity. So there's obviously really healthy ways that you can go about that. Like, even if I identify myself as someone that doesn't really cling on to labels, and like, that's helpful because it keeps me open. But if I identify as someone that is a power lifter, then it can get really energy draining if I don't have anything else to support that, or I don't have other ways of identifying myself as well.
No, I feel like that's this conversation is so juicy already. I'm absolutely loving it. I think everyone else is loving it as well. But I find...
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I find it so interesting, especially now that, you know, we're in a period of, I don't even know, like, if everyone has a different reflection on what's going on, but it is, for me personally, I find now is the right time to be able to do the soul work, or be able to really go deeper into yourself and to heal your own trauma lines and to heal your ancestral wounds. And I want to ask you, what has been something that's arisen in this period? You know, what's been a death of something and a rebirth of something for you?
Wow.
Yeah.
I love how before you were like, this period is like, I don't even know. Like, girl, I feel that on a soul level. A death and a rebirth. Wow. Okay. Where to start? I feel like I have been given the opportunity to be present more than ever before. And this term used to really annoy me, like really trigger me, because I was like, fuck being present. Like, I want to move forwards. I want to get on with the day. Like, you know, I'm always in a rush. Like, I'm someone that, and I am very efficient. Like, I can get, if something excites me, I'll get it done so fast that it will be like, it will blow everyone else around me just to be like, how do you even finish that? And like, you know, obviously there are some things that take me way longer as well, but sometimes like I can really get in the zone, right? But in doing that, I can often get overwhelmed, or I can often get up in my head and ask myself why things aren't moving faster. Like, if something does happen a little bit slower, or I don't know how things are going to unfold, then I used to get quite anxious about it. But recently, I've been feeling quite relieved in this sense that, like, I get to only take things week by week. Because honestly, right now, it's not like I can think, oh, well, maybe I'll go traveling in July. Like, I don't know if that's going to be an option. Or, you know, thinking about where I want to live in a year, or thinking about how I want to, I don't even know. Like, it's just like really quite a nice space to be in, to just decide, yeah, okay, I'm here now. Like, I've got this business that's amazing, and it's supporting me in ways that like I'm so happy with, and like I just, I'm allowed to enjoy the journey about it now. And I keep, sometimes I have these moments of like, well, what if things change in like a month, and what if I'm not able to, you know, keep doing the things that I want to do, or what if I'm not able to go outside, and what if, you know, I'm never going to be able to go to a restaurant again. Like, all of these thoughts come up for me still, but then I just constantly come back to like, right now I'm okay, right now I'm safe. And it's just been quite a relief, and I was speaking about this on my Instagram last night, to just not feel like I have to have so many big goals, because I have been really goal driven most of my life. And I think Yeah, I think there's been this collective pressure let go from this sense that, like, we all get to pause. Like, if I'm kind of pausing right now and not thinking about massively up-leveling or massively transforming my business or massively transforming my life, it's okay because everyone else is in that same boat as well. And it's really given us all this permission to be like, oh, I'm not behind. I'm okay right where I am right now.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I was reflecting on this as well. And like, there's still so many things that I want to do. Like, I want to get a website up and going, and I want to like really get this podcast going, and I want to get a new laptop, and I want to get a surfboard, and I want to, like, I've calf cleaned my room. I still want to do all that. And before, if I look at those things, it would make me really anxious. But now I'm like, oh, they'll come when they come, and it will, won't be forced, and everything will come from a loving and compassionate space, because there's no time anymore. You know, time doesn't exist. Like, we just like wake up. I mean, if you've got a job, you work 9 till 5 or online, but you don't really, you know, it doesn't really matter what the time is. Like, you don't have to really go, like, you got meetings and stuff, but that whole concept is kind of just taken away. And it's just really nice to see how people are just kind of relaxing through this time, and they are doing things that they haven't done for ages, like baking, or they're going out, they're trying a new sport, or they're reliving, playing tennis again, or they're doing something that they haven't actually done before. And it's a lot of, a death of a certain way, but also a rebirth of something that they've actually loved in their childhood, where they haven't actually been given the opportunity or the time or the space to be able to be able to even reflect on that, or to be able to do that again.
It's so interesting, because we always are saying like, oh, I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough space, and it's like, now we've been given the chance to do these things that we have always put off for so long, and it can be jarring. Like, it can be disorientating to suddenly have the space when you're used to being so busy, or when you're used to kind of ticking things off and making huge progress and doing what have you. And so it can be weird when you do get that goal and you do have that space, and you're like, your nervous system almost needs time to adjust. So if you're someone that's feeling like, oh, I hate this, I wish there was more things to do, know that that's also valid, but also know that if you can let go of that need to be busy and to proving yourself productive all the time, then it really will open you up to the space to be creative. And that comes back to this whole idea of not needing to justify yourself, like going to play tennis just because, like, not because you're going to be a tennis player or because you're even going to be good at it, but just because you have the idea and you're just going to do it, and not feeling like you, like, yeah, you need to be like creating some like career out of it or a job out of it or anything. Yeah. And another kind of word with creativity is that you can't force it. And that can be really frustrating, especially if you are quite like a driven, go-getting kind of person. You have to like put yourself in a position where like you can surrender and let go. So my favorite practices for that is like when you're in the shower and you're totally present and you're just letting the water run down your back and you're just like not trying to think about anything, that's when it always like amazing comebacks come to you, or you think of something that you had forgotten about all day, or you get reminded that you were meant to call someone back, because you're just totally in that moment of surrender. And we are all so worried about surrendering, of just letting go a little bit, but that example right there is so such a prime example of how when you do let go, really cool things do come to you. Or even just like, you know, you get an idea of like, oh my God, I've wanted to paint for so long. Okay, when I get out of the shower, I'm just going to like Google a YouTube video that I can do. Like, it doesn't have to be necessarily something that you remember or something productive. It could just be an idea that pops into your mind. Mm-hmm. And it's just about continually giving yourself the permission to follow that little nudge without needing to explain yourself or needing like a reason to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And when you were saying that, something that really resonated with me was when you said like, you don't have to justify it. And I've just been really, for me personally, just been really feeling into that space and just doing things because I want to do it. And like, we'll post something on my Instagram because I want to post it, and like not feeling like I need that validation. And like, I'll go on flight mode. Like, I went on flight mode on Sunday for the whole day, and like, I didn't have to explain myself to anyone. And I just had that whole day to me and chill out and do what I want, and not have to feel like I need to explain myself to people, because now is not the time to be doing that. And now is the time to be just like chilling, or like, yeah, being creative if you've had that drive for so long and you want to do that now. And I think this can be taken so many different ways, and there's so many different coping mechanisms that you can deal with it. But Yeah, it's just, it's very, very interesting because so many people are dealing with it so differently, and there's no right or wrong way of going about it. Because some, like, it's such a uncertain time that we're being forced with this change, and a lot of us don't have the tools, or that a lot of us just don't know how to deal with it. So just being easy on yourself, and yeah, like you said, taking the pressure off is the best thing that you can do, and not feeling like you have to do something, but it should come, if you want to do something, it should come from a, like, a loving and compassionate space rather than a fear and anxiety space, where, like, if you're feeling quite anxious, like, just sit down for a bit and, like, understand why you're feeling anxious, and, like, get a bit of a better understanding around why these are coming up for you. Like, maybe it's a past experience that you've had, or a past traumatic experience that you've felt before, and it's coming up and it's triggering those emotions again, or those fears again, and just understanding that it's okay, and, like, this is what it's going to do. Like, this period is going to bring up a lot of stuff that's happened in the past that we may have not dealt with, but knowing that we're all experiencing this together, and there's so many tools out there that can help you move forward, or even just to be able to just, like, sit in the space is really empowering, even to see how the community's coming together, and how a lot of people doing, like, live even yoga classes or painting classes, or even all the musos, like John Bartletree has been jumping on every night, like jam,
Love it.
and yeah, there's just everyone's kind of coming together. So we're all are supported, but if you need support, like, just step up and just ask for it if you can, or just Google it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and like take the initiative. I think often we sit at home and we're like, why is no one calling me, or why doesn't anyone care about me? And yet we forget that, like, we are also able to send a text and be like, I'm thinking of you, to someone else, because, like, that's what we want. And so whatever you want, send it out into the universe, like, give it to someone else, right? So that you can also have the ability to receive that as well, rather than just sitting really passively and expecting everything to just happen like magic for you. But what I do want to say is just, like, a big reach out of compassion, because if you are someone that is dealing with anxiety, or you're feeling depressed, or even just feeling really uncertain, I can totally understand and relate. And especially with this whole pandemic that's happening, it's, fair enough you're going to be feeling triggered. Like, it's absolutely wild. And so I want you to know that, like, there are things that you can do. And even if, like, because, I've suffered quite a lot from anxiety over the past couple of years of my life. Thankfully, I've worked through so much, which has been such a journey in itself. But there would be days where, no matter what I did, like, no matter if I journaled, no matter if I went for a walk, no matter if I spoke to a friend, I just couldn't shake the feeling. And what I've really learned with now is to just sit with it, like what you said, Monty, to just not make myself feel guilty for being anxious and not sitting there constantly. Like, I think it's healthy to be like, oh, why am I feeling anxious? But also not to, like, constantly all day think, why am I like this? Why do I feel like this? Why can't it go away? Instead, just being like, okay, I'm feeling anxious. I'm not going to judge myself for it. And having that neutral assessment almost of, like, yep, this is how I'm feeling. I'm still able to do these things. And sometimes you just need, like, a little quick win as well. Like, sometimes you just got to write a to-do list of, like, one or two things that you're going to do that day, even if it's something so simple as, like, flossing or changing your sheets, and just
Love
doing
that.
that, and
Quick
ticking it
win.
off. And it's just like a quick win, and you feel better from doing that. You feel like that sense of accomplishment. And it may not, change your entire way that you feel, but it's just like a little nudge that kind of helps to remind you of, like, oh, I am capable of things.
Yeah, and that's kind of for me as well. Like, the other day, maybe, oh, it was probably about a week ago, was my last down day, which for me, I have a down day maybe like every 3, 4 days, or at least a down half day. But it hasn't actually been till, I don't even know what day it is. What day is it? Tuesday. Yeah, probably.
Feels.
I told you. But yeah, and I was, like, feeling so flat. And then I'm like, just surrendered. I was like, just allow yourself to feel flat. And I came home, and I live with my parents, and I just said to mom and dad, like, look, I'm feeling super flat. Like, can you just not talk to me, because I'm just struggling to, give myself energy and not you. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Mom goes, oh, I had a flat day as well. I know how you feel. And yeah, just, like, to sit with that, but also, yeah, have your boundaries too. Like, if you're feeling flat, don't just continue to ruminate on it and like do things that are going to continue to make you even more flat, you know? Like, just for me, what works for me is like watch motivational videos or watch motivation or listen to motivational podcasts or just sitting with it, rather than sometimes at first when this pandemic was going on, I'd be feeling flat, but then I'd be looking at people's Instagrams who are posting about the level of control that the government's going to have, and you know, with vaccinations and 5G, and I was like pushing myself down into like a rabbit hole of
a spiral,
right? Yeah. And I was like, now I know though, because I've experienced that, that Montana, if you're feeling flat, do not go on Instagram and watch people's stories. There's unexpected things that you're going to see that will make you feel more flat. So just chill out, listen to a meditation, have a nap if you want, like start knitting or baking or go for a walk or sit in the garden or pet your cat. Like don't get on social media, because I know that's when I get really triggered. That's my trigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like we can go onto social media knowing that there might be something that will trigger us, but like that knowledge is not enough to stop ourselves from going even further down a spiral. So don't put yourself in that position. And that's why I love, like for me, I love jumping in the water, but sadly all the beaches have been closed here in Sydney for like a couple of weeks. Guys. I know, but they've just reopened like a couple, so I might head down because it is beautiful weather today. But I've still been like, you know, having baths and having showers, and like, because for me, water just, it helps me to like let go. Like I feel like it really shifts my energy when I have a shower or bath, and often I don't feel aligned. Like I like have to shower after a workout because I hate that feeling of being really sweaty, and like there's just something really like, so like it's like you're shedding a layer, and it just like totally shifts your energy when you are in water or you're warm as well. Like another thing that really helps me to, I guess, like down regulate my nervous system is to like lie with something heavy-ish on my lap. It makes me feel really safe, and that's obviously really good for managing anxiety. Like you and I were just talking about before, we've both been craving sitting on the floor more, and I think that's just as a result of wanting to feel more grounded, closer to the earth, because you know, with all of this stimulation that's going on at the moment, the energy in the air is quite erratic. It's quite like, oh, things are going to change at any moment, and that can be really overbearing, right? So to get down to the ground and like take your shoes off and feel the earth beneath you is just so powerful, of also like transmuting those like really hectic vibes into more of just like slow paced motherly energy as well, which is what we get from the ground and the earth.
Yeah. And I was actually having a conversation about this morning with this guy, and we're walking on the grass, and he even said, he's like, how nice is the grass feeling underneath us? And I go, I know, like earthing is so important, but I said, well, do you know what else is really important is to balance the four elements. So having, you know, water, earth, air, wind, fire, well, there's five. Well, I like to say there's five. And I know, cause I'm a fire sign. So I know when I'm feeling like a little bit depleted is when I haven't burnt my sage at night, or I haven't burnt my palo santo, or I haven't smoked my pacho, or I haven't lit my incense. I know that fire within me it's not balanced. So what's your, earth sign?
I'm an Aquarius. So I'm an air, which is why I'm so up in my head all the time, which is why like water is really helpful for me, because it just helps me to like, but earthing as well. Like that's like one of the biggest things for me. I don't think I have like any earth in my chart, which is why I like need to be grounded constantly.
So I found, very interesting is just tapping in with that. And for me as well, like my love for the ocean has increased so much the last few weeks. Like I know we've only allowed to go out once a day, but I go jump in the ocean in the morning and I jump in the afternoon as well. Because for me, salt water is really therapeutic, and there's something about the ocean water that's actually, there's a lot of studies that have been done on it as well, and how therapeutic it is. And if you don't have access to water, I mean, you can have a bath and chuck some salt in or get some bath salts. I've also done that as well when it's been really cold in winter. Because just having that sense of cleansing, and like you said, the shower thing, or like these just like these little rituals that can help you just feel more aligned or help you just be more present.
Absolutely. It's so important to have those rituals, and like I think what gets a lot of people stuck is that they wait until they feel really anxious or really overwhelmed or really sad, and then they can't, like, when you're in that mindset, you can only focus on the pain or the sadness or the suffering. And so it can be really hard to figure out, well, what's going to make me feel better. So it's really important that we reflect on the self-care rituals that we would want to do when we get to those points before we get into that low state, so that they are top of mind. And that's like, you know, talking about having our routines change as well. I think that's why a lot of people are now relying on food for comfort, because they've never had the time to think about what other ways that they want to get comfort from, because and then that's why you turn to food, because it's so readily available and so accessible, and it is like a quick distraction. Instead of asking yourself in that moment, well, what is it that I really need? Like, maybe it is that I need a nap, maybe it's that I need to call someone, maybe I just need to walk around the block.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I noticed this not yesterday, day before, but I definitely overate. And I was cooking a chocolate caramel slice and I literally ate a quarter of it. And I know, mate, it's that good. I ate like a quarter of it and I felt so sick in the stomach. And I was like, why did I do that? But I didn't even let myself, it was kind of like something else just took over me. And I just ate it and I ate the whole slice. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I'm exercising a lot more now. So maybe it's my body is saying to me, you need to be eating more on a daily basis. Because it's craving sweets, but I have sweets every day, but I feel like maybe I'm just undernourishing myself accidentally because I'm exercising more. And if you do exercise more, you need to eat more because your body needs it. But I think my body just craved having heaps of food because I just haven't really been nourished for the past few weeks, probably. And it was just very interesting. And I was like, yeah, okay, I understand that. So what I'm going to do on a daily basis now is to eat more, because I know that I'm burnt. Like, I'm going for a run every second day. Like, I'm working out, and I do my laps, and like, I need to be, you know, fueling my body so I can be able to perform efficiently and not get any injuries. And I don't want to be in a deficit right now. I just want to maintain. I just want to, you know, do things that make me feel good. And challenge myself as well at the same time. But yeah, it's interesting when food is right there and, like I said, it's relatively available, but just like inquiring into that space or mindful eating like practices is so important right now, and to really sit with your food and to acknowledge it and appreciate it rather than scoffing it down like I did.
Yeah, I mean, but and to caveat what I just said, it's also normal to emotionally eat. And of course you're going to be turning to
everyone
during such a time. Of course, like it's not, you're not a bad person for overeating. Like on the weekend, mum sent me chocolate because I haven't seen my parents in ages because they're being like just, you know, cautious with social distancing. And so she sent me some chocolate and I hadn't eaten chocolate. I don't even know. I'm not a big chocolate gal. Like, give me ice cream or lollies any day, but I'm not a big chocolate gal. But she ordered me this like really nice, like lush chocolate. And I just ate like half the egg, and it was like one of those like big eggs. And I, you know, I definitely didn't eat I was eating intuitively, right? Like, people often think like, oh, if you're eating mindfully, then you're like listening to your body and you always eat at like 70% full. Like, no, sometimes you do overeat, and that just like having the empowered choice to do that as well is really good and really healthy and normal. But then that night I like didn't sleep that well because it was like so much sugar before bed. And it just, instead of, I could see like in my old patterns, I would have been like, why did I do that? And what's wrong with me? And beat myself up for it. But this time I was really neutral about it. And I was like, oh, okay. That's why I don't eat that much chocolate in one go. Probably not going to do that again. But it was just like a really nice point of reflection to remind myself of like how good I normally feel when I just, you know, have treats here and there. And this is why I don't eat half a thing of chocolate. I probably will do it again, but like, it's just, sometimes you need those like moments to no, yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you just need those like moments of reflection as well. And I think a lot of us think that if we beat ourselves up for it, then we won't do it again. Like, we punish ourselves so that we won't do it again. But actually then we just get stuck in this cycle of like wanting to enjoy ourselves, but then punishing ourselves, enjoying ourselves, punishing ourselves, and always thinking that enjoyment has to be attached to punishment. And that's something that I grew up with, you know, having struggled with binge eating and over-exercising. Now it's just really letting go of that idea that I always have to earn feeling good or earn eating something good. And I just get to eat something good, and then I don't have to punish myself for it after either.
It's not that earn mentality. It's like, oh, like, it's just crazy. And I was watching this person's story a while ago, actually maybe a month ago, and how, you know, some people will go for a run, but then they feel like they've earned, you know, a burger and chips, and then they will continue to go into that like binge eating cycle because, yeah, I've done this, so I've earned it. But it's like, there's obviously like a fine line as well. Which, like, when we, like, okay, if you go for a run every day, then yeah, you might feel like you earn a burger and chips every single day, but then the morning after, or you're going to just continue to be in that binge restrict cycle because you can't, like, for some people can't have like whatever they want every single day, because there's just going to make them put on weight. But that's where you kind of can get stuck in that cycle, I find, if you think that you earn it every time or someone else is doing it, so you feel like you should do it too. And it's like, well, you should understand, like, we should all try and understand our bodies a bit more and what our bodies need, because what someone else is doing works for them, but we're all so different.
Absolutely. And you never need to earn food, and you never need to burn off food when you eat it. Never. It literally doesn't work like that. And the more that you think that, you're reinforcing the idea that you can just like exercise to eat food, but your body doesn't work like that. Like, it's looking at exercise in such a vacuum when your body uses energy for like so many other areas of life outside of just exercising, right? Like what energy do you think makes your brain function and your heartbeat?
Yeah.
Like, it's outside of exercise. So like, there's so many other factors at play.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And I love that. And I love that what you're doing right now is helping so many people. And I said this even like maybe a year ago, like, you're absolutely going to continue to thrive and flourish. And I can really see that and feel that for you. And it's really beautiful just to watch you and your business grow, and to see how your clients love you. And what you're putting out there is so authentic and it's so real. And that's who I'm connecting with right now. And I feel is really important for me is to continue to connect with people who aren't ashamed or don't feel guilty for talking openly about, you know, their emotions or when they do feel down, because it is a natural human emotion. Or like any sort of, if you want to deem them as like negative emotions or whatever. But I really feel empowered when you jump on your gram and say that you've been feeling shit. It makes us all feel like, oh, look, Inez, she's a bloody amazing individual, but she feels shit too. So it really gives us like, you know, that reassurance that it's okay. And I think a lot of people respect that for you. And yeah, I can't wait to continue to watch you grow and flourish and turn into a beautiful, bigger butterfly.
Oh, Monty, I appreciate that so much. And like, just quickly, something to add on as well is that like, a lot of us really romanticize the idea that like, when we hit the goal, whether it be a body or a relationship or a job, that's when we'll be happy and we'll never experience negative emotions. But like, that it never happens like that. Like, you'll reach the goal and you'll feel amazing, but you're still, even if you have the amazing job, the amazing partner, the amazing body, you're still going to feel all of the emotions. So why wait until you get to that goal to learn how to cope with your emotions? Like, why wait till you get to the goal to figure out who you are and what your values are and how to manage your mindset? Like, the work can start now whilst you're on the journey, and that makes the journey as enjoyable as the destination. Like, we're all so often are we waiting until we hit the goal then to work on our happiness, but like, they need to go hand in hand, otherwise you're just holding yourself back and you're going to feel stuck. So thank you, I really appreciate that, Monty.
That's okay. Yeah, it's like prevention before the cure, right? It's like, you don't want to get into like a really bad space and try and pull yourself out if you just continue just to work on it now, or work on your mindset now, and just kind of just chill about it though, and not necessarily have to get to a breaking point for you to kind of like realize all this is important, because it's mental hygiene, really, is hygiene, just topping yourself up. But is there anything else that you'd like to say or finish on? Well, I feel like we've covered so many juicy topics.
We've covered everything. I guess like the last thing in terms of like our emotions is that we have to experience all of the emotions, because without the dark, we cannot experience the light. And that's why we need that polarity. And so it's not about avoiding those negative emotions or negative thoughts, but it's really just supporting yourself with the tools to be able to manage that as best as you can. That's what I always say. So whatever you're feeling is so valid. And one of the most therapeutic things that I have ever learned through all of the different coaches and mentors and therapists I've had, and you know, all the programs I've done, is that it's normal to feel the way that I feel. And from that platform is what has really helped me to take action and to take leaps. But I always need to be reminding myself, and often to get the support from outside of me, whether it be also from friends as well, like you, Monty, have helped me so much with this that it's normal to be feeling the way that you're feeling, and that still means you can go on and be really successful or be happy or find love or whatever it is. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a lovely afternoon. What have you got planned?
oh, I've got a consult with a new client, which is exciting. I'm going to go for a walk with a friend and maybe work out tonight, depending on what time I get back from the walk. We'll see. What about you?
I am going to do some laps, I think, this afternoon because I got some earplugs finally because my ears have been playing up so much lately because I've just been in the ocean so much. So I've just been putting off like swimming laps, but not as far as I want to. And also as well, like doing laps, I don't know if anyone swims laps, but doing laps, like you have that whole time to yourself and your thoughts. And I think as well, like I've only been doing short laps, like I was blaming it on my ears, but I also just didn't think I was comfortable like doing laps for like more than 30 minutes. So I kind of just used my ears as an excuse to like, oh, I don't have to like, you know, sit with my thoughts or like swim with my thoughts for 30 minutes kind of. So I'm looking forward to having that time for me. And even though I meditate every night, it's different. Like self-care practices are different and will trigger you and will bring stuff up for you in different ways. And I feel swimming has been so good for me and I just need to get in on swims because I know I have the best sleep after swimming.
Swimming's so tiring.
Oh, it's so tiring in the body.
Sure.
Like you're allowed to, it's so easy for me to process my emotions when I've just me in the ocean because there's like nothing else there.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. That's what I'm
love that.
Do some laps, maybe do a workout, but I went for a run this morning, so I don't think I really need to do that.
You're a very active gal. Yeah, love it. Love that for you. Amazing.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Inez. And I hope you have a lovely afternoon. And I can't wait for everyone to hear our beautiful conversation.
Yes, me too. Thank you, my love.
That's okay. Bye.
Bye.